You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
On the 7th of June 2019, after the quashing of its revised framework for resolution of stressed assets by the Supreme Court in April, multiple media sources reported that the Reserve Bank of India had issued a prudential framework for resolution of stressed assets, giving lenders leeway to review a borrower account within 30 days of default. But as the Hindu Business Line reported, it stipulates additional provisions in case of delayed implementation of the resolution plan. On this edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control, we will explore this new framework that gives lenders a breather from the one-day default rule, whereby they had to draw up a resolution plan for implementation within 180 days of the first default. Will the Reserve Bank of India's revised framework for resolution of stressed assets work? That is the question we're asking on Digging Deeper with Money Control with me, Rakesh Sharma.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
The new framework gives lenders like scheduled commercial banks, All India Financial Institutions and small finance banks 30 days to review the borrower account on default. As media sources have reported, during this review period, lenders may decide on the resolution strategy, including the nature of the resolution plan and the approach for its implementation. Lenders may also choose to initiate legal proceedings for insolvency or recovery. The RBI circular says that since default with any lender is a lagging indicator of financial stress faced by the borrower, it is expected that the lenders initiate the process of implementing an RP even before a default. Quoting Hindu Business Line now, while the defunct circular was applicable only to scheduled commercial banks, excluding regional rural banks and All India Financial Institutions, the new circular is also applicable to small finance banks and systemically important non-deposit-taking NBFCs and deposit-taking NBFCs. In cases where the RP is to be implemented, all lenders have to enter into an inter-creditor agreement, that is ICA, for the resolution of stressed assets during the review period to provide for ground rules for finalization and implementation of the resolution plan in respect of borrowers with credit facilities from more than one lender, unquote. Business Line further explains that under the inter-creditor agreement or ICA, any decision agreed to by the lenders representing 75% of total outstanding credit facilities by value and 60% by number will be binding upon all the lenders. In particular, the RPs will provide for payment which will not be less than the liquidation value due to the dissenting lenders. The piece further went on to elucidate in cases where the aggregate exposure of a borrower to lenders is 2,000 crore rupees and above, the resolution plan has to be implemented within 180 days from the end of the review period, and the reference date has been set as the 7th of June 2019. In the case of borrowers in the 1,500 crore and above but less than 2,000 crore rupee category, January 1st, 2020 has been set as the reference date for implementing the resolution plan. In the less than 1,500 crore rupee category, the RBI will announce the reference date in due course. Furthermore, if the implementation of a resolution plan crosses the stipulated 180 days from the end of the review period, the lenders have to make additional provisions of 20% of the outstanding loan. If this timeline exceeds 365 days, they further have to make a provision of 15%. These additional provisions are over and above the provisions already held or the provisions required to be made as per the asset classification status of the borrower account. Business Line reports that Ramnath Pradeep, former chairman and managing director of Corporation Bank, said the circular is silent on the role of NBFCs in the implementation of the resolution plan in case they report a borrower as being in default and the role of borrowers. Here, in any case, is what the circular says in a nutshell. Number one, lenders will get a breather from the one-day default norm. Number two, they will get a 30-day review period to frame a resolution strategy. Number three, they have to submit a weekly report to the Reserve Bank of India on defaults by borrowers with exposure of 5 crore rupees and above, and new norms also applicable to small finance banks and large NBFCs. Just to jog your memory a little bit, in February 2018, the Reserve Bank of India had issued a framework on resolution of stressed assets under which banks were asked to initiate resolution or restructuring of loans worth 2,000 crore rupees or more, even if there was a single day's default. But the Supreme Court had called this framework ultra vires, which means it was beyond anyone's legal authority. Following this, the Reserve Bank of India had revised the circular. According to an earlier report by Money Control, RPs involving restructuring or change in ownership in respect of accounts where the aggregate exposure of lenders is 100 crore rupees and above will require independent credit evaluation, that is ICE. This ICE of the residual debt has to be done by credit rating agencies specifically authorized by the Reserve Bank of India. The RBI said that if the borrower fails to demonstrate satisfactory performance during the monitoring period, asset classification upgrade will be subject to implementation of a fresh restructuring or change in ownership under this framework. The Money Control report also said that according to the central bank, borrowers who have committed frauds or willful defaults will remain ineligible for restructuring. But in cases where the existing promoters are replaced by new promoters, the lenders can take a view on restructuring such accounts based on their viability. This has to be done without prejudice to the continuance of criminal action against the erstwhile promoters. On the 10th of June 2019, Madhavan Narayanan wrote on First Post an analytical piece that argued how the central bank must frame stronger guidelines to police borrowers, not just lenders. And this is what he began his argument with, and I quote, "On the face of it, the RBI's new norms to offset a Supreme Court ruling against its February circular that stalled its attempts to fix the resolution of stressed loans seems like a pragmatic way to balance the needs of growth with prudent banking. But look hard and you will find that the central bank has a long way to go in putting the system back on the rails. Questions lurk in the woodworks on how to future-proof India's public sector banking system in a manner that would prevent the recurrence of a toxic cocktail of reckless lending, outmoded monitoring, and crony capitalism. Between the struck-down circular and the diluted new regime, another significant event has occurred, the re-election of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's BJP government. What this means is that there is a continuity in the administration in which blaming the predecessor is not an option, while there's also a need to plug the holes that have arisen in the process of managing stressed assets and the insolvency and bankruptcy code." Unquote. The writer goes over the revised set of norms, asking lenders to take an early review of borrower accounts within 30 days of default and to get into an inter-creditor pact to implement a resolution plan within 180 days from the end of the review period. And the fact that the lenders may initiate legal proceedings for insolvency or recovery of loans. All that sounds a bit bureaucratic, though pragmatic, he says, and adds that though it lays down a desirable roadmap, still the elephant in the room is the behavior of borrowers. "It is time," he said, "that the RBI looked hard at what needs to be done in the entire process chain of borrowing, including issues related to collaterals, cash flows, and above all, the expected conduct of borrowing entities." He went on to state that it is unfair to put the onus of supervision on banks without a complementary practice where borrowers need to be classified as good, bad, and ugly and punished and rewarded accordingly. He also reminded us that just a day before the central bank unveiled its norms for stressed asset resolution, RBI Governor Shaktikant Das, evidently the PM's chosen man for the job, announced a third successive interest rate cut, only to find the Sensex tanking by 500 points because mortgage lender Dewan Housing faced a credit rating downgrade, which upset the market mood. Quoting from First Post again, "The harsh fact is that RBI's problems have now also become that of the stock market regulator SEBI, because some Indian promoters, such as the ESSEL Group and DHFL, have been cleverly using mutual funds to borrow funds. The ghost of RBI's pursuit of turning the heat on non-cooperative borrowers who play hide-and-seek with banks despite their ability to repay hangs in the backdrop. Nirav Modi is now the dubious icon of banking frauds and Vijay Mallya for willful defaulters, while Jet Airways founder Naresh Goyal stands on the margin in a tug of war over its future, even as the grounded airlines employees rise in protest seeking government intervention." Unquote. The writer also recalls how on the same day that Das was revealing revised norms for stressed assets, Maharashtra Chief Minister Devendra Fadnavis declared publicly that the government will take action against banks that refuse loans to farmers. "It is clear then that India's public sector banks can neither go back to the loan mailer culture of the 1980s nor afford to repeat the mistakes of the last decade that has resulted in a 10 lakh crore rupee pileup of non-performing assets. But neither can they blindly follow the Western style of letting banks or companies fail as if it is business as usual, because social pressures and the opportunity costs of corporate failures cast an impact on growth and jobs. First Post also told us that a study last year estimated that public sector banks account for 70% of loans, but 87% of bad loans. We cannot apply a simplistic market-based approach in such a context, says Madhavan Narayanan. To quote him one last time, he said, the only reasonable way out seems to be a system in which banks can create a process of disclosures and behavior mapping in which there is an onus on borrowers to keep the banks informed on forthcoming events and cash flow situations. Why should the economy wait for banks to spot the bad apples and lead the resolution amid judicial hurdles? Court cases linked to stressed assets and the IBC point out the need for the Reserve Bank of India to be smart in a manner that would prevent a judicial gaming of loans. It logically follows that taxpayers, depositors, and safe borrowers should not be bearing the burden of defaulters and gamesters in an interconnected system. This requires a rule and behavior-based lending regime, because old rules based strictly on collateral can inhibit loan growth vital for the economy. From all indications, such a transparent regime is lacking in India. If necessary, the government should consider strengthening the Banking Regulation Act that was cited in the case that led to the Supreme Court striking down the February circular, unquote. However, the piece also offers an optimistic view of the future and foresees a time when new technologies will bring branches, officers, and lenders into a common information system to give dashboard views for quick action. As Madhavan said, if Amazon can give discounts and cashbacks to buyers based on desirable behavior, why can't banks pick a leaf out of that and adapt that to borrowers? Still, he concludes on a rather cautionary note, borrowers must be held accountable in a manner that would curb a nexus between officers and bad borrowers on the one hand, while minimizing chances of borrowers resorting to courts to get away with defaults or unacceptable payment delays. Unquote. In the first scenario, the nexus, we already saw what happened in PNB, and in the second, we have seen what has been happening with a lot of resolution processes. And here's hoping that these processes get more streamlined in the near future.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.